I just want to talk to you this morning for a moment, or maybe a few minutes anyway, on how to be a rock-solid believer. Now, of course, we all know rocks come in all kinds of sizes and shapes. You know, some of them is like gravel on a road or in a parking lot. You can just kick it around, and you know, it's small. But there are other rocks that takes a little bit of effort to move. And then there are huge rocks that they call boulders that you have to have the right equipment to move. You know, how many of you have ever heard of a Rock of Gibraltar? Anybody ever heard of the Rock of Gibraltar? Anybody ever seen the Rock of Gibraltar? Some of you have because you've been in that area. It's right there at the entrance of the Mediterranean Sea, out coming out of the Atlantic. And it's a great mountain of rock. It stands about 1,398 feet. And it's right there on the other southern tip of Spain. And anytime anybody want to talk about anything that's so unmovable, they always say, like the Rock of Gibraltar. Anybody ever heard that? Excuse me, many of you have. Now that could be a comparison to us as believers to being rock solid and nothing can move us. This is especially true in the days that we're living in. I consider them the last days. And I want to look at a couple of scriptures here. Matthew 24:3. Later Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. I'm reading NLT. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" Jesus told him, "Don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Messiah. They will deceive many. You will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in parts of the world." Now, we can see all of those signs that are right before our eyes all the time. And then, you know, with all the recent events that's happening all the time, it seems like many, even Christians, are getting gripped with fear and wondering what's going to happen. Many people are uncertain about a lot of things and are becoming afraid. But let's read another scripture, Acts 2:17, beginning. "In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark. The moon will turn to blood red before that great and glorious day the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, here's another sign that we need to realize is that in the last days, there will be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. Recently, you see more and more people standing up for Christ. It's very evident in our younger people, the 18 to 25-year-olds. It's very prominent in the universities and sports teams. And in fact, I was watching some football yesterday, and they were starting to interview some of the players, and the first thing they said, "I want to thank my Lord Jesus Christ." People are starting to be vocal, whereas we have been quiet. But I want to tell you what, I believe the sleeping giant has been awakened. The minority has been yelling from the housetops, and we've all been quiet. But it's time for us to stand up and begin to say what the Word of God says. I'm not talking about taking sides with this one or that one. I'm talking about saying what the Word of God says. I'm talking about standing firm, like the Apostle Paul says. I don't know anything. I'm going to paraphrase it in my language. I don't know anything about you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what needs to, and I believe the Spirit of God is moving in this hour. I think it's time for us to look at the church. Now, I'm about talking about the worldwide church. Some are doubting and others are standing up strong. Many don't attend the local church anymore, but at the same time, more and more people are coming to church. In fact, I heard somebody was talking to one of their friends, and they were talking to me and said that I haven't been to church in years, but I'm going to church Sunday. There is an awakening, people. I believe it's the beginning of that last day revival that I preached about in 2003, I think it was, God's greater glory. And that outpouring, I think, is going to encompass all of the revivals going all the way back to the Azusa Street outpouring of the Holy Spirit and taking all of them in. And I've been around since the 40s when the healing revival of 47 through 58 took place, and I've been involved in all of them. You know, some people are becoming depressed. Oh, what's going to happen? While others continue to believe God's word and stand up strong with a smile on their face and joy in their heart and the word of God coming out of their mouth. Many people, their faith has been shaken, yet other believers have risen up stronger and stronger. You know, there's a saying in the sports world, when it gets tough, the tough get going. Hello. You know, we're seeing all of this. And we can either choose to doubt and be in fear, or we can give up, or we can choose to stand strong and be like a rock solid foundation, not being moved. You know what? You can be a born again Christian and not do anything. Hello? We can choose what we're going to do. We have the choice. That doesn't mean God's going to kick us out. But I tell you what, it does mean that you may not receive all the blessings that you can get. But let's go on. You know, within the church world today, even in the local church, we got newborn Christians. We got nominal Christians. Those that do, this is my duty, so I'm going to go take care of it. We got carnal Christians. Don't look at me like that. The Apostle Paul, that's what he wrote to the Corinthian church about, because they were carnal. Come on now. We got spiritual Christians. We got unsteady Christians, and then we got steady Christians. We got untaught Christians, and then we got Christians who know the word. Today, I want to ask you a question. How solid is the foundation of your Christian life? How strong is your faith in God? What are you going to do when you're faced with having to make a decision to bow or burn? What are you going to do when you have to make a decision to either stay out of the lion's den or be put in the lion's den? Come on now, don't look at me like that. In the world that we're living in the last days, that's what's going to happen. And we've got to be rock solid. And so our response to what's happening around us will determine how we end up. If you respond as the world does, you'll get what they get. If you respond according to God's word, you'll get what God said you'd get. You know, we don't have to be the victim. We can be the victor. Circumstances do not have to control us. The task in front of you is not greater than the power behind you. I have a little poster, and it sits on the floor on my bookcase, and I can see it from my desk, and it says it's a soldier kneeling, and it says the task before you is not greater than the power behind is great. The task before you is not greater than the power behind you. We don't have to be a punching bag for the devil. We can be who God created us to be. Hello? Now let's look at the Apostle Paul. He was rock solid in his faith. He was on his way to Jerusalem because God had told him to go there. And numerous people prophesied to him and told him that he's going to be captured. But in Acts 20:24, he said, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of God's grace." Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem. Why? Because that's what God had told him to do. We have to be determined to do what God has told us to do in the Word of God. What, you know, we have to make that. He didn't change his plans because there were some threats against him. He didn't get in fear because his life might be in danger. And it was. When he got there, he was taken captive. He was put on trial. He appealed to Caesar, and they were taking him there. That's the story. He remained immovable in the face of all of these circumstances. That's how my dad was, Kenneth E. Hagin. Once he found what the Word had to say about something, that's what he held on to, and nothing else mattered. And you've heard me say it many times, that he would say, "The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it." Today, you've heard me say that many, many times. "The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it," period. There's no ifs, ands, or anything else. That's it. "Yeah, but what about this?" No, I'm not going on what abouts. I'm not going about what ifs. I'm going about what the Bible said. Now, Jesus told us to build a rock-solid life. Luke 6:47. He said this, "I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep down and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's well built." A solid foundation in our house naturally, where it will hold. Not like over in this neighborhood behind us and where our student housing is, that They didn't go down and get on firm foundation, and those things are collapsing, and foundational problems. We've had them over there. We have to go in and jack up and do all sorts of things. And then the houses back behind there, I don't know if any of you live there or not, but just about all of them have had to have foundation work done. Because I've been in that building right over there on the corner. My office has been in that building since 1976. So I've seen a lot happen out here. Okay? This building right here is built on a solid foundation. Even when the engineer said that one shell, one rock was sufficient, the man that drilled and had been drilling in this Oklahoma soil for 37 years, I think it was back then, he said, I will not do the job unless you let me go to brown shale, blue shale, I guess it is. Yeah, blue shale. They said the brown would be good enough. He went on down. Hey, some of the piers underneath this building are 37 feet deep, some of them a little deeper than that, to go down and get it on a solid foundation. And this building has stood solid. In fact, when we had the snow on the roof in the back, how many of you remember that back there? Was any of you a part of the crew that was lifted on top and helped cut those 6-foot drifts off of the roof? Anybody? Hold your hand up if you were. Let me see. Yeah, y'all know what it's like. The engineer said, and that whole roof should have collapsed, but just one little pearl sort of crumpled a little bit. And the engineers were talking and checking the building. They said, this building is very, very strong. Said, you can drive a semi-truck in that end of the building on that corner, and the rest of the building never would even feel it because it's built on a solid foundation. Let me ask you this question. When the devil hits you up beside the head, are you on a solid Christian foundation? Or are you going to crumble under pressure? Come on now. We need a solid foundation if we're going to live a good Christian life in the world today. You know, we need solid connections that will hold us up in the storm. Many of you saw this building being erected. It's a steel erected building. Everything's steel in this building. Now the sides are even are steel, but we got that cover over the top of them. But everything is connected together right in the top where that parapet is up there and the face shield sets up there. There was a metal ring. I don't know if anybody's here that saw that, but that was up there. And everything, there's stuff going up to it and connecting to it, steel beams. Then there's steel beams coming between the other steel that was put around. And everything connected to that one deal up there, the one ring. And it was on jacks, and they said, we don't know how far it's going to drop. It may drop 3 inches, it may drop 3 feet. We don't know how far it's going to drop, but when it drops, it's going to lock everything in place, and this building will be solid. Well, I was here when they did it. I think it dropped 6 inches, I think. I forget what it was now, too many years ago. And it dropped down and everything locked into place. And we have a strong building because we got a strong foundation, but we also got the strong building material parts, the steel. Now you see, you're going to have to build on your foundation. Hello. With solid connections. You know, nobody wants to be the person that falls over when the first little wind comes blowing in that's sort of against everything. Last night, there was a little storm that blew through, and there was some pretty strong winds. When I pulled out my driveway this morning, now I didn't have it, thank God I didn't have it, but my man across the street, there was all kinds of limbs that had been taken, blown out of his tree, laying all over his yard. Because Those trees are older over there. The tree stood. It had a firm foundation. But the connection wasn't good. You know, so what does it take? What does it take to have a rock solid Christian life? What does it take? Well, you have to stay connected to be rock solid. Colossians 2:19. And they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together with joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. Now that's the NLT. I want to read the Passion Translation. They refuse to take hold of the true source, but we receive directly from him, and his life supplies vitality into every part of his body through the joining ligaments connecting us all as one. He is the divine head who guides his body and causes it to grow with supernatural power. Now, I was talking about the connection of all of the steel up here. Hey, we are connected to Christ. And it says that's where we get our supply from. And it causes us to be able to grow in the supernatural power of God. God intended for us as a body of believers to stay connected. Thank you for two amens. Have you ever tried to sit on, you know, you got a little stool, it's just got one leg under it, and you can sit on it, but you're going to wobble around a little bit. You're going to have to make sure your feet are solid. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever tried that? Then you can even get one that has two legs. But it's still, you can probably make it, but it's still unstable. But you get one that has three legs, and it's stable. Hello? Come on now. It takes at least three legs, better with four, but it takes at least three legs to make that a solid something to sit on. Otherwise, you can probably do it, but you're going to be wobbling around a little bit. Hello? That's one of the first things when you go out for football or basketball, one of the first things that they tell you is your foundation. Get your feet set about shoulder width length, and you set. Okay? How many of y'all played sports? How many of y'all ever heard that? Also, if you're moving, you don't cross your feet like that. You move like this. Because when you do that, you're vulnerable to fall. That's not a firm foundation. But when you do this, you still got your foundation under you. Am I right or wrong? See, many times, many Christians, instead of staying firm, they get crossed over because they start listening to somebody, this message over here, and they start listening to this message over here, and instead of staying strong in the foundation, they get crossed up. Hello now. Even if you didn't play basketball or football, you played baseball or softball. You got a stance that you get into. And you have to come through with it. Golf is the same way. You have to have a solid foundation when you come through and you swing. I'm not too as you get older, you're not as limber as you used to be. How many of you guys found that out? You're not as limber as you used to be. But I still, if you noticed, I still got the. You ever notice those guys? Watch on the golf channel or watch on the golf term. They get there and you'll see them. Even when they get their feet set, that's the foundation. See, your foundation determines your outcome. In sports, in our Christian life. Now, talking about all that, I want to talk about three connections. I talked about having the three deals on the three legs on the stool. Okay. Number one, stay connected to the Word of God. By reading and meditating on it daily, don't let somebody come and try to tell you something. See, if you don't know the Word and you haven't stayed connected with it, somebody can come and tell you something. You say, oh, really? I didn't know that. Well, the reason you're going to fall, be gullible to that is because you don't know what the Word says. Hello? It's impossible to have a strong foundation, a rock solid Christian foundation, if you are not connected to the Word of God. Look at the Apostle Paul said what he said about the Colossian believers in Colossians 2:5. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. Now, I want to go to Passion and look at this again, the Passion Bible. Even though I'm separated from you geographically, my spirit is present there with you, and I'm overjoyed. Not just awful, overjoyed to see how disciplined and how deeply committed you are because you have such a solid faith in Christ, the Anointed One. There's solid faith right there. Man, that's an exciting description of the Colossian church. You have such a solid faith in Christ. Now, y'all quiet. I hope you're listening. Because this is an important subject. If you want to get some more on being connected, I got a book out there. Call connect. If we're going to stay rock solid in the last days, when the devil releases all hell, if we're going to stay, and pardon that expression, but that's the only thing I know to say to get your attention. If we're going to stay rock solid, we've got to stay connected to the Word of God. Now, let's look at number two. Stay connected to the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16 says, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are children of God. Many people do not see the importance of being filled with the Spirit. They are only born of the Spirit, but they're not filled with the Spirit. See, we are born, when we're born again, the Spirit of God comes. Hello. But then He said that He would send another comforter, a helper, a standby. And Go on and read about them. So, staying connected to the Spirit. If you are not continually praying in the Spirit and keeping the Spirit utmost in your life, you do not hear when He begins to try to warn you about things. When He begins to try to tell you about things, you're not there. You're not, you haven't kept that strong connection. Come on. You ever been on, well, I left it down there, I turned it off. You ever been on that phone and somebody is trying to tell you something important? And all of a sudden, there's interference, you know, they're dropping out. You hear about every other word or every two or three words. And you say, I've lost the connection. That's the same thing that happens to you when you don't stay connected with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. That connection is broken and you don't get a clear signal from what God is trying to tell you. Hello now, come on. Man, this is good teaching, Pastor. Go ahead, I believe I will. If we will pay attention to the Holy Spirit, He will guide us. He will direct us. I know a man. He was on our board for many years. That he never went into a business deal if he didn't get a clear direction from the Holy Spirit. Even whenever on paper with all the analytics, it said, this is what you should do. But he prayed about it, and he didn't do it. He didn't get involved. His friend said, man, you're missing it. You're going to miss it. He didn't miss it. He didn't lose no money. They did. Now, and he told me this. Now, another deal. On paper, all the analytics said no. But God said, go. He did. Nobody, they didn't get involved. He did. He made a boatload. You see, the Holy Spirit will help you in everything in life. If you'll listen, He'll tell you when and when not to. Hello? You know, I was in a hurry the other day. I think I was going home. I'd called Annette. She had left office early, and she was going to cook, and I needed to stop and get something. So I was in a hurry. I went into the Walmart parking lot, and I went down one aisle, and then I went to the other aisle, and there was a parking place, but I was praying for one close. And something on the inside said, go on around and come up the other aisle. Well, this one was, maybe 10 or 12 parking spaces. And I said, my head said, this is pretty good. I better take this. But I felt on the inside, go on around and come up that other aisle. So I did. I went on around, come up the other aisle. And just as I was coming up, the first parking spot, the guy backed out, I pulled in. Hello? Somebody said, well, that's not very much. Hey, that's how the Holy Spirit will help you if you'll be willing to listen. Stay connected to the Holy Spirit. Pay attention. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll even tell you how to stay protected. Hello. I don't know how many times that I going home, and I try to keep my eyes on stuff. I don't mean this wrong. I'm sort of a public figure. But this car, it's turning every time I turn. It's right behind me, and it's staying right staying with me. Well, I go off the freeway. It comes off the freeway right by. I turn to go down toward my house, and there it is right behind me. Well, you know what I did? I didn't go home. I turned at another street. And they went with me, and then I got to another street, so I turned again. This time they didn't turn. I don't know whether they realized that I knew that they were following me, or maybe that's the way they were supposed to go. I don't know. But I didn't actually feel any. I mean, I didn't hear the Spirit of God saying anything to me, but I had that uncomfortable feeling. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit will do that. I just had that uncomfortable feeling, and then I got enough sense in my head to know, hey, this ain't good. Do something about it. Hello. See, staying connected. You know, a lot of people with their family, they have a safety plan. If anything happens and they all get separated, everybody knows they're supposed to go to a certain, if you get all separated, you're supposed to go to a certain place. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Hello. I know when the kids were teenagers and stuff, we used to go to amusement parks and they'd go off on their own. But we'd say, okay, we're going to all meet back here at this spot at a certain time. Well, everybody knew, you know, we didn't have to be concerned. We had a plan. Hello. That's what the Holy Spirit will help us with. He will give us a plan that will help us in any kind of situation, especially a dangerous situation. So we've got to stay connected to the Holy Spirit to stay rock solid. All right. Number three, stay connected to the local church. Ephesians 2:20. Together we are his house, built on a foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus himself. You know what? When you ask somebody if they go to church, going to church means various things to different people. Studies show that a lot of people only go to church once a month, but they consider that good church attendance, which is not. Like I said a while ago, there's a stirring in the young people. There is evidence and there is all kinds of things that are out on this. Church attendance among the young, especially the 18 to 25, is increasing drastically over the last year. Now, you measure your connection to your local church by three things: your attendance, your giving or your money, and serving. Those are the three things that say that if you're connected to your church or not. If you're not involved in those three things, you're not really connected. Some people say, well, I'm doing at least two of them. Well, that's good. You're semi-connected. Hello. Don't be looking like that. Those are the three things that tell me if a person is connected or not. Sometimes when we're looking at somebody for something, I check their records. You say, how can you do that? Well, I can check a giving record because we keep that for you in case you need it for your records. And if there's consistent giving, I know that they're consistently in church. If there's not consistent giving, I know that they're hitting and missing. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. I'm just talking as a pastor to you this morning. I want you to be rock solid, that nothing can move you. And the only way you're going to stay rock solid is stay connected with the three things that I talked about, and especially the three things that I talked about with the local church. Now, connection to the local church is vitally important. If you look at a group of animals, they either stay together in a herd or packs, especially the wild animals. And the reason is because predators will not attack the pack or the herd. They attack those that have detached themselves and are not connected with the herd. First Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is looking for those that have become disconnected because they do not have. See, when you stay connected to the local church, it is one way of staying safe from the predators. Come on. You know, in the midst of the world that we're living in, God is still real. God is still God, and He's moving. He's equipping. He equips us with His word. He empowers us by the Spirit. He encourages us through the local church. This is how we become strong, rock solid in our faith. Our life reflects the connections that we maintain. These connections will determine our destinies. Today, everybody stand. And if you can, I want you to say this after me. I'm committed to staying connected to the Word of God. I'm committed to staying connected to the Holy Spirit. I'm committed to staying connected to my local church, to attend regularly, to give consistently, to serve willingly. I am committed to becoming a rock solid believer in Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. Now, You pray your own prayer of dedication to the commitments that you have just made. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. We have made commitments. And we ask you to help us to maintain these commitments, to be rock solid in our believing. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. As you stand there, today there may be some of you that are not connected to Jesus Christ, so you could not make these commitments with the rest of them. Or you may know what it is to be connected, but you have detoured and got off course, and you need to come back and rededicate your life to Christ. If there's anybody like that right now, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in this building, if that's you, you need Jesus Christ to connect to him, or you need to reconnect, I want you to step out of that aisle right now and meet me right down to the front, and I'm going to pray with you. You're going to be connected and reconnected, and your life is never going to be the same again after today. So if that's you, come on down here and stand right here. I'll be down there in just a minute. I'm going to stay up here so I can see people that are coming. Come on. If in the balcony and you need to come, come on. You need to connect or you need to reconnect. Come on now. Come on now. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. Come on. Sing something, Dan, while we're coming. Come on. This is your opportunity to connect. To connect. To connect. Come on. I'm waiting. There's others that should be down here. I'm going to wait on you. This lady was bold enough to come and say, I realize what I need. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. I'm going to wait just a moment for you to give you your opportunity. Did you come? Reconnection. Put your hands out and pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this young lady. I thank you as she's come to reconnect with you. I thank you that her life will never be the same after today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn and see Greg, our pastoral staff, and Christy? Go with them to that special place of prayer where you can be prayed with them. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah to Jesus. If you want to know more about connecting, I suggest you get my book back there called Connect. And I also suggest that you get, it's got a workbook with it, that you get that workbook and that you use it. Read the book, do the workbook, and I guarantee you it'll help you be better connected in your life and to be rock solid. Hallelujah. Pastor, all staff, let's go to the doors. Hey, they got a picture of my book up there. Let's go to the doors. There it is. There's the book, Connect. Praise the Lord. Go to the doors, staff. Okay. If you need to get an anniversary sweatshirt, you order that in the north lobby right now, because today, this morning, and tonight, and they can't be ordered no more. We'll send the order in, and your name will be there, and you're the only one that'll get it, okay? Hallelujah. We're going to the doors. The staff are going to the doors. Shake your hand. Thank God. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, right here, Hour of Power. And then what happens Thursday, Friday? Ladies, kindle a flame. All right. Hey, men, get involved. After I get through teaching on Friday, I get through teaching at 11:20, I'll be over there in NRC and I'll be serving. If I can serve, you can too. Sign up right now. God bless. We'll see you tonight.